Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. I love getting to be here at Harbor of Hope. It's a treat for me to come every once in a while and get to see some familiar faces and meet some new people. It's been 10 years since our family moved away from Lowell and moved down to New York City. So it seems like now it's been a long time, but it really is fun. And it feels like coming back home, to come back here to Harbor and to be with you. So thank you for allowing me to join you today. I also want to say thank you, because whether you know this or not, now you're going to know because I'm going to tell you, whether you know this or not, when you give generously every week or every month here in the offerings at Harbor of Hope, a portion of what you give goes to help serve our ministry, Orchard Group Church Planting, as we start new churches like Harbor in cities across the country and around the world. So when you give generously here, a portion of what you give helps to make it possible for us to serve those who are leading new churches all across the country and around the world. I am so thankful and humbled and grateful that I get to do my job. I get to connect leaders who are inspired to start new churches with financial partners who help to have the resources provided that they need. And we are thrilled to see God at work in places like New York and Miami and Chicago and Los Angeles and San Francisco, where new churches are really flourishing and thriving. There's even new churches that are being started internationally in countries like Japan and in Ireland. Just this next year, just in 2017, new churches are launching in Cape Town, South Africa, in Lagos, Nigeria, in Paris, France, and in Harlem in Manhattan. So we're excited to see those new ones started. Just to give you a snapshot, since I started working with Orchard Group years ago, on Easter Sunday this year, there were 23,000 people worshiping in churches that had been started during that time. Last year, over almost 1,000 people gave their lives to Christ and were baptized through the new churches that have been started. So I just want to say thank you for your help and support in all of that, and we're grateful. A few months ago, I was in London where I was interviewing a couple of potential leaders to start new churches, and then we were meeting with some other partners that are financially supporting a church in Paris, and so there's several meetings over the course of a couple of days. But my last day there, on a Saturday, I was entirely free. I had no meetings, no commitments, and I have never been to London before. Maybe some of you have visited, but you know, it's a spectacular city, so I was looking forward to just being a tourist for the day. And I had mapped out all of the places that I wanted to see. I wanted to see St. Paul's and Buckingham Palace and Big Ben and Parliament and Piccadilly Circus. And so I had gotten the map out, and I had kind of imagined like how I could walk my way through the city and hit all of these, you know, touristy but historic sites. And so I was excited. I woke up that morning. The weather was beautiful, sunny, and I thought, this is going to be perfect. And I started out away from my hotel, and really quickly I could tell I'm going to have problems, because for some reason the sidewalks are just filling up with masses and masses of people. And then all of a sudden I realized that the city streets are blocked off, and there are hundreds and thousands of people that are just marching through the streets. And I needed to get like across this main road, but there's no way because all of the crowds are blocking. People are chanting. And then it slowly starts dawning on me what's happening. This is the day of the Women's March. Do you remember when the Women's March was happening in cities all around the country, around the world even? And every place I wanted to go, I was going to get cut off. I wasn't going to be able to get through. Imagine like if you're down in Boston and the march route was like the Freedom Trail exactly, and that was the day that you had, you know, come to Boston to do the Freedom Trail. And so that's what I was up against. And I was frustrated. I was annoyed. And then I just thought, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. So I marched my way through London in the Women's March. And then every time I get to a site, I'd just peel off for a little while and I'd see the thing. And then I'd just jump right back in. So if you see me like on the internet, pictures like a pink hat and a, you know, with a sign or whatever, now you know, that's what was going on. Sometimes, you know, the things that are obstacles in front of us, you know, they can turn into opportunities. And that's what happened there. I want to talk today, though, about the obstacles that we face in life, because sometimes there are real challenges that present themselves in our life, and they seem insurmountable. It just seems like no matter how you look at this big thing that's blocking your path, there's no way around it. There's no way through it. There's no way over or under. You just can't figure out how to overcome this obstacle that's in front of you. I know for our family, I would say for the last like 18 to 24 months, we've been facing some of the biggest challenges as a family that we've ever faced in trying to find help for one member of our family who needs help. But it feels like we've tried every resource, every answer, every solution, and still just trying to find the way to address this challenge. Some of what I want to talk about today to you, I'm living it out personally. I want to talk about how we face the obstacles and challenges in our life with God's help. And I want to use a particular story from the Bible to talk about this. And it really is, I think it's applicable to everybody, because I don't know what challenges you might be facing right now. Maybe it's something with work or something with your family or financial or your health. And maybe you would say, well, I'm not really facing any big challenges today, but I think we all know that if you're not facing one today, there's probably one you can remember not that long ago, or maybe there's one around the corner that could come at any moment. So I hope that what we have to talk about today can be helpful for every person here, just looking at a story from Scripture about how to face obstacles with God's help. The story that we're going to look at is from Joshua chapter 3 and 4, and a little bit of the backstory is that the people of Israel had been slaves in the country of Egypt for 400 years, and they've been crying out desperately for God to rescue them and save them, and finally God provides a leader who can deliver them from Egypt in the person of Moses. So Moses is the one who God uses to help the people break free from the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he miraculously provides a way for them to escape through the Red Sea. And then for 40 years, these people who had been enslaved are now free, but they're wandering in the wilderness because God is still waiting to show them the way to the land that he's promised to them. And here we are right on the eve of them approaching, like kind of finally getting into this land that God's promised to them, and Moses dies. And they're left with their new leader, Joshua. He's a younger man. He's sort of been an understudy with Moses, but he's just getting ready to face his first leadership challenge. Historians say that the people of Israel were probably numbered around 1 million people at this time. So here's Joshua, young leader, 1 million people. They're getting ready to go into the land that God's promised. But between where they are and where God's leading them is this raging river, the Jordan River, which is at full flood stage at this time of year. And he has to get the 1 million people from one side of the river to the other. Imagine if you can put yourself in his position. This is your first big test in your new leadership administration, and you got to lead 1 million people over a raging river. There's no ferries, there's no bridges, there's no tunnels. You can't go all the way around it to the right, you can't go to the left. It's just you, the river, and where God's leading you. And that's where we're going to pick up the story and try to ask, like, if God worked this out in Joshua's life, what can we learn from here? Well, Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, first of all, I just want to say this. God said this to Joshua. He said, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." God's getting ready to do something big, and it's going to demonstrate to the people that this new leader has the presence of God, just as Moses did, that God's going to be with him too. And I think one of the first things when we face an obstacle or a challenge is just to remind ourselves that God has promised that he will be with us, that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. We may not know what the outcomes are going to be, we may not know what the end result is going to be, but we can be confident that God will be present with us. But the first thing that Joshua does, they got this river in front of them, promised land on the other side, the first thing he does is to ask the people to examine their lives and to make themselves clean before God. He says in chapter 3, verse 5, "Consecrate yourselves today because tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So when you're faced with a challenge and you don't know what to do, probably the first thing that we can all do is just to consecrate ourselves before God, to ask God to examine our heart and our lives and to make us pure before Him. The word consecrate really means to be devoted or set apart for a very specific purpose. A little bit of the imagery would be to take a goblet or a cup and to wash the inside and wash the outside and to rinse the cup and to dry it off so that it's prepared to be used for the king by a royal person. And we're asking God to do that with our lives, to basically say, God, would you make me clean inside and out? Would you make me pure to be used by you so that you can receive the honor and the glory through your work in my life? And I think one of the reasons why it's a good first step when we face a challenge to stop and let God examine our lives and ask to make us pure and clean before Him is sometimes the challenges that we face aren't entirely external. Sometimes the obstacles we face are problems that they're partly due to our decisions, our behavior, our attitudes, our condition of our heart. And so before we get frustrated with something that we're bumping up against that we just can't seem to break through, it's probably a good step to stop and say, God, would you examine my heart and make things right with you in my life? Consecrate ourselves before the Lord and expect that God can do amazing things. God said, if you consecrate yourselves today, the Lord will do amazing things among you. But the second thing that Joshua did was he stopped and he listened for God's leadership so that they could follow God's leading, not just acting on their own, but to follow God's lead. In chapter 3, starting with verse 3, we read this: when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are the Levites carrying it, you should move out from the positions and follow it, and then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. I like that phrase. You'll know how to go because you've never been this way before. And, you know, all of us at times face things that we've never faced before. We're starting on a path we've never been down before. Maybe some of you are sitting here and saying, well, you know, I'm unemployed. I've never been down this path before. Or maybe some of you are saying, man, my marriage just ended. I've never been divorced before. I don't know which way to go. Maybe some of you are saying, man, I just got a diagnosis and I've never had an illness like this before. I've never been down this path. And it can even be good things. Maybe you just said, I just got a promotion at work. I've got more responsibility than I've ever had. I've never been this way before. Or maybe I just had a baby and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this thing. I've never been this way before. I mean, you know, we can all face things in our life where we've never been this way before. And so it's good for us to ask God for wisdom and to follow His leading. In this case, they had the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, they had this big box that was covered in gold and jewels, and it was ornately decorated, and they had the priests, the Levites, carrying this, and inside the Ark of the Covenant were the tablets that God had given Moses with the Ten Commandments, and they had the staff that God had allowed Moses to use to lead the people. And so there's this big symbol of God's presence, and it's really easy because they basically like go out into the river, and when they go, you follow. It's like following the very presence of God. I wish it were that easy in our lives, right? Don't you wish sometimes following God's leading in our life could be as easy as just following the golden box? Wherever the golden box goes, that's what I go, that's what I do. But we can ask God to lead us and expect that God will speak and lead in our lives. Sometimes God leads us through the words of Scripture or a specific example in Scripture that can point us in the right direction. Or sometimes God will speak to us through other people who have His Spirit in them and can speak words of wisdom and counsel in our lives. Or sometimes if we're followers of Jesus, the Bible tells us that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And sometimes we can trust God to lead us through the leading of the Spirit in our lives. But all of us can ask God to speak and then follow His leading to the best of our ability. The Bible says, I love this promise. This is one of the best promises in Scripture. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and he will give it. This is an amazing promise. And I want to say, if you're here today and you're like, I don't know if I'm a Christian or not, or I don't know if I'm a follower of Jesus, or I don't know if I even believe in God. The amazing thing is this promise is for you too. Listen to what it says. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, even if you don't know if God exists, ask God. God, if you exist, would you give me wisdom? And it says he will give generously without finding fault. God's not going to hold previous bad choices or decisions against you. He'll give wisdom generously without finding fault, and he'll give you wisdom. I mean, I think this is one of the most hopeful promises that we can count on when we're facing challenges or obstacles, difficulties in our life, to say, God, I need your wisdom. Would you show me what to do? Now, unfortunately, I think one of the things that happens, and I can admit, and it's happened in my life too, when we're seeking God's wisdom, we're seeking God's direction with a challenge that we're faced with, sometimes we can get paralyzed because we're afraid we might do the wrong thing. We're like, I'm asking God for wisdom, but I don't know for sure whether or not God's speaking here. And so we almost get paralyzed because we're afraid if we take the step, we're going to take the wrong step. I love what another pastor, Craig Rochelle, has said on this topic. He's like, you know, if you ask God for wisdom and then you listen for God's leading and then you decide to take a step based on what you think God is saying to you, even if you're afraid it might be the wrong thing, guess what? You know what happens when you take a step? There's only two things that can happen. Either you took a good step or you took a bad step. And you know what you do when you take a bad step? You know what you get? More wisdom. So if you ask God for wisdom and you try your best to follow how God's leading, then I think we can act in faith. We can step in confidence because hopefully we take the right step. But if we take the wrong first step and we realize, oh, I made a mistake, we get wisdom and we can step out again. And so I feel like one of the most helpful things for all of us to realize when we're facing a challenge is to ask God, examine our lives, ask God to give us wisdom, and then to boldly take a step of faith, trusting God to lead us. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 8, this is what God had told Joshua to tell the priests. When you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. They weren't waiting for the water to part. He said, go stand in the river. And then he told the people in verse 13, as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, the water flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Sometimes the steps that God calls us to take in faith are steps out into the water. We don't always get to wait until the path is cleared. Sometimes we have to act in faith, even when it's still confusing, even when it's still unclear how God's going to work. And in this case, when the people stepped out in faith into the river, God caused the waters to stop, and the people were able to cross through on dry ground. In chapter 3, verse 17, it says that the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all of Israel passed by, until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. I wish I could promise that every time we face a challenge, that God's going to act in a miraculous way to part the waters and make a clear, dry path for us. I wish that were true. I don't think that's always going to be true. But I do think we can have the confidence that God will be with us if we ask him to consecrate us and to give us wisdom and boldness to step out in faith, even when the path in front of us isn't clear. After the people crossed through on dry ground, God told Joshua, and the people followed the instruction, they went out into the riverbed and they gathered stones to make two memorials. They set up one memorial with 12 stones to symbolize the 12 tribes of Israel, and they set that up in the middle of the riverbed before the water continued to flow. And then the next 12 stones that they gathered, they took with them. And once they finally settled in the new place, they set up a memorial there as a reminder of what God had done to lead the people into the land and through the river. And I think this is as important for us today to remember is we need reminders in our lives that God has done it before and he will do it again. God specifically told them to physically set up this reminder so that for generations to come, the parents could point to those stones and tell the kids what God had done in the past and how he had acted so that they would have confidence that God would again act in their behalf in the future. And I know I need reminders in my life too, because it's so easy to forget. So easy to forget how God's worked in the past and to live with an uncertainty that God will ever do anything to help in the future. I know for me, one of the times when it's easy for me to forget is when I'm in a hurry. When I start to get stressed and I start to get frantic and my schedule starts to get full, I start to act and behave as if everything that's going to get done has to get done in my power and in my strength. I get in a hurry and I forget that God even has promised to work and I think I have to do it all myself. And so I'll face a challenge or an obstacle and I start thinking, well, I stop remembering. I forget that God has promised to be present when I'm in a hurry. I also think it's easy for us to forget when we're hurting. When we have real pain, deep pain happening in our lives, it's almost like the pain distorts our perspective. And it's like the only thing we can focus on, all of our attention is going there. And I've been told before that like animals that are injured or hurt are more likely to, they're more dangerous than at any other time because they're more likely to lash out and hurt other animals. And I think as people, the same thing can be true when we're hurting. Sometimes we are hurting other people or we'll even harm ourselves because the pain distorts our perspective. And I just think we need reminders in our life. We need to somehow remember, even when we're hurting, we remember God has acted before. God's come through before. He's delivered before. He can do it again. He will do it again. And sometimes when we just feel helpless and overwhelmed, we just feel like there's no hope and there's no way that God can restore this broken relationship, or there's no way that God can heal this disease, or there's no way that God can deliver through this challenge. And it's so easy to forget. And so we need reminders. God's done it before. He'll do it again. This is a weekend, a Memorial Day weekend, when we remember those who gave their lives serving our country, who sacrificed so that we could have freedom. And I just want to say, if you have a family member or a loved one who gave their life in service to our country, I just want to say thank you for your sacrifice. And today we, in this weekend, we remember and we honor those who gave their lives that way. But it's also a good reminder for us of the fact that Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice so that we might have freedom. And, you know, it's also good for us to think about Jesus, who said, when he was facing his biggest challenge, facing the cross in front of him, he prayed out, cried out to God and prayed, "Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way for me to do this without going to the cross, would you let that happen?" And yet he had to go to the cross and bear the shame and the guilt and the burden of our sin in order to make a way for us to be forgiven and set free. And I just want to just say this. It is a good reminder that when we face obstacles and challenges, God doesn't always give the easy solution. I mean, Jesus himself had to bear enormous pain, make tremendous sacrifice in order to do what God was calling him to do. And sometimes when we face challenges, there isn't an easy path. Sometimes there is pain, there is burden, there is sacrifice. But there's also hope on the other side, that the power of God can bring life even when there has been death, even when there's been loss, even when there's been pain. And Jesus not only bore the weight of our sin on the cross, but he was raised 3 days later from the tomb to assure us that we will have life with God forever. And so today we have a chance through communion to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. And on the night before Jesus went to the cross, he took bread and he broke it and gave thanks. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this and do it in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup of wine and he said, "This is my body, which is, or my blood, which is poured out for you. Drink it and remember me." And so we have a chance to have a memorial every week where we remember God's done it before. He will do it again. God has delivered in the past. He will deliver again. I can trust that God will be with me no matter what I face. He will not leave me. I don't know what you're facing today, but I pray that you'll let this be a reminder, because we need to be reminded what God has done. The band's going to come in just a minute and play the last song. And there are stations here at the front of the room and all around the room. You can go to the station that's closest to you. If you're uncomfortable or you're unsure, it's okay to stay in your seat. But we really invite everyone who wants to remember Jesus to come to these tables. And so I'm going to pray, and then you can participate in this reminder. Father, I pray for every single person who's here that is facing a challenge or a burden or an obstacle that's in their path, and they have no idea what's next. I pray that today you'll give wisdom. I pray that you'll give peace and comfort and boldness. Father, I pray that we would remember your presence with us and your promise to us. And I pray for outcomes that might be illustrations that you were powerfully at work, even when we didn't know it and couldn't see it. And Father, may we be bold in telling those stories of how you've acted in our life, in our behalf, so that we could be an encouragement to other people. And Father, we thank you for your sacrifice, your son, the life given on the cross, so that we could be set free and forgiven, so that we could have hope and life with you. Father, we thank you. We pray that you'd help us to live lives that honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.